This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Adapting the adventures of comic book heroes for the radio is nothing new. In fact, it's quite old.
And now it is my privilege to introduce our friend Bruce Wayne, otherwise known as the Batman.
From out of the West comes Red Rider, America's famous fighting cowboy.
Trot up that pony, little beaver. It's trouble in Frying Pan Valley. Let's hit the trail.
Presenting the amazing interplanetary adventures of Flash Gordon.
Look, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
But what's old is new again. That entertainment tradition made popular in the 1940s is returning to radio right here in North Carolina. The Jade City Pharaoh is a radio drama that'll soon premiere on the State of Things. But the hero of this series will not be caught dead hitting the trail on horseback, calling anyone Little Beaver, or wearing underwear on the outside of his pants. No, no. Harold M.F. Jones is a superhero with soul. Or as folks in Jade City like to say,
there's one bad mother.
Unlike his cape-wearing counterparts, Harold M.F. Jones actually got his start on stage, not the comics. He was the star of the Jade City Chronicles, a production of Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham. And unlike the heroes of radio's golden age, Harold is African-American. The character, the play, and the forthcoming radio series are all the creations of writer Howard Kraft. And he joins me now to talk about this super spectacular stage production and how it found its way to radio. Howard, great to have you back.
Hey, good to be here, Frank.
We last spoke to you about the play, Jade City Chronicles. It was about to debut on stage here in Durham. Now, what's the impetus behind bringing a black superhero? I want to talk about the theater production. What was the impetus behind that?
J. Obersky, who is the artistic director for Little Green Pig Theatrical Concern, came to me, and he had this idea, something he wanted to do for a while, about doing a play about an African-American superhero. And he asked me, would I be interested in writing it? And I said, yeah, it sounds like something I'd be, you know, interested in doing. And so started on the project. Remembered my love for comic books, had a great time doing it. Man Bites Dog produced it, and we did it there on their stage and had great success with it.
Tell us about the hero, Harold M.F. Jones.
Harold M.F. Jones is, I would say he's the 99%, right? So he's definitely not Bruce Wayne, you know. He doesn't have millions of dollars. He's not Superman. He doesn't have a fortress of solitude. He lives above a bookstore he runs, and he has instead of a Batmobile, he has a Honda Civic with 200,000 plus miles on it. And he's dealing with student loan debt, and, you know, he's a regular person, very human. So I think people can relate a lot to his story.
You're dealing with a couple of issues or in a sense, types when we say an African-American superhero. First, you have to deal with the superhero and what we think we know about that, and then the idea that it's an African-American superhero. How do those two ideas merge in your mind? What's the connection?
Well, and I think about the history of African-American superheroes. I think that the early ones, Luke Cage, for example, they were the result of the success of the blaxploitation films. And so, in my opinion, the comic book companies were trying to capitalize off of that, the success those films were having, money-wise. And as a result, those characters were very stereotypical. When I think of a more recent African-American superhero, Spawn, which is an excellent comic and probably the most successful independent comic, we have a black superhero, but we never deal with his blackness. Spawn could be, any color. So what I wanted to do with Harold Jones was to show his experience as an African-American in America and what... how that would impact his being a superhero. What would he have to go through based on that? No different than if you had any nationality in a particular neighborhood. we all have a particular experience, and it's not one homogeneous African-American experience, but there is an experience that all people of color will have different than the majority culture because they are in the minority. And so we try to explore that through Harold Jones.
And we have a bit of a backstory behind the story of Harold Jones himself. He has a mentor. He has a story himself.
Every play I write, everything I write, I spend a lot of time developing backstories, and that way it helps from the writing perspective. The characters become themselves, and it's not you trying to be the characters. They have a history to them. Harold's history is very sad. He's an orphan, but he's raised by a surrogate father, Uncle Roscoe, who trains him in the ways of the Bambata martial science. And when he's 16, he realizes he has superpowers because his mother was part of some black ops government experiments in the 70s, and she dies in childbirth. And it's a whole...
It's a story.
It's a whole thing, man.
And the nice thing is, in the radio series, we get to kind of thread some of that out. It came out in the stage production as well. And for the radio series, an all-new villain, the Beef Cooker.
The Beef Cooker.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I wanted to, with the radio serial, I wanted to do something different than the play, because the play ends in a particular kind of way, and I don't want to, you know, in case we redo it at some point. But I wanted people who didn't see the play to be able to come into the story and not have to say, well, I don't know who the head mother is, and I don't know who Retribution, and those characters, and get a whole new set of characters. So the radio serial actually starts maybe 10 years before the play does. In the play, Harold has become very apathetic and, you know, wondering, did he make the right decision? This is like in his prime. And in his prime, the top villain is the Beef Cooker. And he controls, he's kind of patterned after the kingpin of crime in the Daredevil and Spider-Man series. But instead of being a big guy, he's a really small guy. That walks around with a meat cleaver and a you know, butcher's cape, or not cape, but a smock.
And we are going to see all of that on the radio. And here it is right now. What we've done is completed a pilot version of Jade City Chronicles. So gather around the radio, folks, and tune in for the premiere of the Jade City Pharaoh.
Martin Luther King once said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." I would add, only if there's someone there to bend it. Hood villains and death dealers, change is coming to Jade City, wearing a green cape. And Harold M.F. Jones, the Jade City Pharaoh, is bringing it.
Two a.m. The city lights reflect off the bay like 1,000 dazzling stars. I love this place, this city of jade. But she hurting now. Unemployment, poverty, drugs, crime, corrupt politicians, and master criminals like my arch nemesis, the Beef Cooker, who would squeeze the last drop of hope from the heart of my beloved. So I fly these skies and walk these streets. But even heroes need a snack. I stop at the grab and go to see my good friend Henry and cop what my Uncle Roscoe would refer to as porgy bait.
Well, if it ain't the super spectacular badass himself.
What's poppin', Henry?
Peas in the pot. Peas ain't popping if the water ain't hot.
Hey, I'm gonna grab a bag of Funyuns and a Coke.
Do you, brother? Really glad you stopped by tonight. I need to talk to you about something.
Damn, Henry. These Funyuns are stale as I don't know what. Tastes like old shoelaces. Man, what's the date on this bag?
It's all linked to what I got to tell you.
So tell me.
The beef cookers people been by here again. They want me to pay for protection. I said I couldn't see it, so they roughed up Fillmore.
Fillmore?
Fillmore drive the Frito truck. He won't stop out here no more. At least not until the beef cooker tell him he can. They trying to run me out of business, Jones. They give me 3 days to come up with the protection money, or they say they gonna take it to the next level. That was 4 days ago.
You tell the cops?
Yeah, even though half of them in the beef cooker's pocket.
Hey, look out! You all right?
They busted my window. I'll kill them. I'll kill them all.
You ain't gonna kill nobody, Henry. Calm down.
Look! That guy's running to that car. Don't leave me, Bug!
Put my Coke back in the fridge, would you? All right, now, where'd you go to? There you are. Don't go into that alley.
I hate alleys. Maybe I lost him. I don't see him. Gotta hide.
And it stinks in here.
I saw you run in here, and I'm not gonna look behind these dumpsters or in these garbage cans. I'm gonna count to five. One.
It's rats in here.
There you go.
You gonna have to catch me, fool.
No, no, you don't. We ain't climbing no fences tonight. Don't you have better sense than to try and run from a superhero?
Just don't hit me, man. Let me go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, okay? Don't hit me in the face, man. Please.
Stand up. What's your name?
Russell.
How old are you, boy?
16.
Why'd you do it?
Man, they gave me $100. You taking me to jail?
So you can really learn how to be a criminal? I don't think so. How many frequent flyer miles do you have, kid?
I don't know what the hell you talking about, man.
Let's go.
Oh, I'm scared of heights, man.
Stop squirming.
Come on, man. You ain't got no seatbelt for this or nothing.
Shut up before I drop your dumb ass.
Okay. This the thug that bust my window. I'd have bust your head to the fat meat.
Chill out, Henry. Why would you want to bust the head of your new employee?
My new what?
This is Russell. He's going to work here for free till he pays off the window. Ain't that right, Russell?
Ah!
I said, ain't that right, Russell?
Yeah, man, sure. You ain't got to smack me in the back of the head.
You cool with that, Henry?
Not really. But if you're going to make sure he do right, I could use some help. Boy, go in the back and get a broom and start sweeping up this mess.
Well, you heard him. What I owe you for the Funyuns and the Coke?
You know your money ain't no good here, Jones. But what about the beef cooker?
Hand me that piece of cardboard and a marker.
Here you go. What you writing? This store is officially under the protection of Harold M.F. Jones.
Let it be known.
That's one bad mother...
There you have it, the pilot of the Jade City Pharaoh, written and created by my guest today, Howard Kraft. And we got an all-star cast in this show as well.
Yeah, man. Some very heavy hitters in this one. We have Mike Wiley as Harold Jones. He's the voice of Harold Jones. And he has a play going on, A Parchment Hour. That's a smoker, too.
At Playmakers. He's doing it right now, this weekend. So.
Yeah, and that's so if you get a chance to peep that, definitely check that out. We have Gil Faison, who is an extremely talented actor. He appears in several episodes in different roles. And we have Alphonse Nichols. And this guy is a young lion out here, man. Mm-hmm. And he's in Parchment Hour, and he's also... doing Blood Knot with Joseph Meagle coming out here soon. This guy, yeah.
I've seen him in a couple other shows too. An amazing guy. Mike Wiley, of course, we know, a fine actor. So, was it hard for you making the transition from writing for the stage to radio?
Not really. And I think the reason why is Some writers see their characters before they script them. I hear my characters. And I think my strength as a playwright is dialogue. And so the transition was not that difficult for me. And then, of course, you know, I got the good people here. You know, you guys said, okay, Howard, I don't know if we could do that on the radio or we can figure out a way to do this. So, you know, getting good, you know. Good partnerships, you know, on that side of it. So,
well, part of that partnership is going to the Hall River Ballroom tomorrow night, and we're going to do a fundraiser there, and it's going to be a great show. Charlotte Ammon's going to be there, Dynamite Brothers. Who else is going to be there?
Kim Arrington is there,
and Sacrificial Poets. It's all going to be there, and the cast of this particular production. We're going to do this thing live on the stage, and I'm going to wear this. Just arrived today. I'm wearing tights.
Yeah.
This just got here. And Lindsay gave it to you. What do you think of this thing?
Whoa.
Wow. It's got a little splash.
I don't know if Harold would wear that one, man.
This is
you know.
This is about half a size too small, too. Oh, Hall River Ballroom tomorrow night. We're going to do this whole thing live. Kim Arrington, Charlotte Ammons, Dynamite Brothers, Sacrificial Poets. Howard's going to be there. I will be there in this. It's red. And we're going to do the show live and have a good time and then maybe raise a couple bucks and see how long we can keep this thing going.
Yeah, it's very important to get this thing going. We really need your support. So if you dug what you just heard, please come out. If you can't come out, still get a ticket. All the funds go to the project. Mad love to all the artists who are helping out. Charlotte, that's my girl, Kim, yeah. Everybody, thank you so much. And if you like what you heard today, you can also quickly, shameless plug, go to Harold M.F. Jones on Facebook. Tell me what you thought on there. That's Harold, H-E-R-A-L-D, Harold. Creative African-American spelling there. And you can also follow Harold at Jade City Warrior on Twitter.
MF, Mighty Fine.
That's right. Mighty Fine. Mighty Fine.
HallRiverBallroom.com is the place to go if you want to buy tickets for tomorrow night's show at the Hall River Ballroom. Kim Arrington, Charlotte Ammons, Dynamite Brothers, Spoken Word by the Sacrificial Poets, a live production of the pilot version of the Jade City Pharoah, all of that tomorrow night, Hall River Ballroom. Hope to see you there. Thanks for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio.